in sight from verse 15 of that chapter. Why do you say like that the truth is under God, or which one of you is not to be ashamed, rather to divide in the way of truth? But some to fame and gain by them. For they will increase some in their ungodliness and their words. The leader is Dr. Sanford, a team of Chinese and Korea, who concerning the truth of error, some of the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands still, having this fear. The Lord knoweth when it appears. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ be passionate unto thee. And in great heights were not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and come to honor and come to dishonor. Give a man therefore, faith and trust in thee, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master of truth, and to prepare unto every good work. For he also useful that from the Father, righteousness, faith, and charity. Peace with them, the power in the world out of a pure heart, the foolish and unknown questions of boy knowing that they be gender studies. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, aptitude, patience, in meekness instructing those who are opposed to Christ, as God so gently will give them repentance through the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Taken captive by him.
Well, this is very good. Purposeful for reading the Word of God and John 6 and those who think in practice. Not only the Word of 10,011 for entire life, but that man is 10,000 heaven. To sustain the life of entirety, so there are no two paths in that practice. One, we eat Christ's body, which is there, to get life, but then as he was with the Father, there is the daily feeding on Christ. He was raised to present it to the believer as one as the man I come down from heaven and the other has been working to God's will. They entered the land of course the man of peace and they ate the old form of the land of the spirit of things. I think that there's two aspects of food for us at least. Christ as a man, number of years. And we read the scriptures for that purpose. And Christ in resurrection and glory. We read the scriptures for feeding on and bread. But I think there is another aspect. And it's the aspect of being with me. And we study to learn the proper ways to be. And listening to God, and we learn to study the scriptures of what God is like and what He doesn't approve of, and I think it's important that we look on the prophecy in the last verse and say, Lord, I saw before that the man of God may be perfect. Really seems sometimes that this doesn't mean there's sinless, but the Word of God can equip us to be intelligent, listening, working, and speaking with the truth of God's Word.
And will afford you what the police want. Definitely. Then it's the cop, isn't it? But if the cop will, I don't want to tell you to do things, and I can actually go by saying the way that I think, that's true. It doesn't take real intelligence either, does it, to know that it's not going to be what is laid down in the system. So the other side, I think you've got an idea like that. We have laid down in the scriptures, God and man, for my behavior, even for my conduct, and all of these things, like what we have in connection with the foundation, let every man go to how he builds their own. The foundation is ready. By the way, the foundation is the most important part, or I would say is the most important component of the house. It does not matter what you do to your house if you have a bad foundation. It doesn't matter what you do. You can change it with the most expensive thing, with the most expensive decorations in that house. But if that foundation is bad, you've got a bad house. And these things are critical. You can talk about these, you know, in an analytical way, but when it comes down to it, we need to understand that we have in our hands the word of God, and we have the greatest teacher in the Spirit of God to unfold the mind of God to us and make wonderful wisdom, if I can put it that way. The more we're familiar with the Word of God, the more we'll be familiar with those items that we appear to have in the CGI, perhaps in the future. Yes. I do think that the way the thoughts we had before us at the end of the last three in the reference to studying, you know, we can kind of have a piece that we show off in different occasions. You don't really know where the value isn't that much. So what's there by just having an occasional piece? You need to see that material. And study by the way I start the truth, I think it's an important principle. And you also be seeing on the word for myself, not for the word growth. That's the word growth, which is assimilated into the body. Thank the Lord for the concept, thank the Lord for the trying to piece things together, that the real growth comes from an individual, takes it up to himself, takes it back to himself, it seems to me, Sir Diamond, that the greatest impact is made upon our lives when we can go in there and dig it out for ourselves. It seems to have the greatest impact in that way. You know, you could sit there and explain something to me and say, well, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says this, and in the previous chapter, it says that. But I never forget something sometime that an older brother did, and I thought it was very interesting. A teacher came and asked him a question about something, and the way that he handled it, something was kind, was almost rude. But I know God did it now. He basically said to you, what do you mean to find it out for yourself? So she did. You know, she started giving, and she got and got. And then the conclusion is the same thing to get. However, she says, now I know why he wanted me to do that. It's exactly what we're talking about. It means more to us if we can go in and get it, you know, for ourselves and other ways to get it. Now, that's not to minimize the other side of it, but we do need our brethren to help us in this thing. But I really do not believe that God can bring spiritual laziness. I mean, even in the natural realm of things, if a person comes in and exercises, you know, it's going to be bad. And I believe it's so in the natural realm of things as well. I don't think that's just the word encourages laziness in any way, not laziness.
There's something intimately connected with the word in verse 15, and that is rightly dividing the word of truth. There is a great conflict going on in Christian profession at this very time. And it's an effort to do away with what every scripture talks about dispensational teaching. Currently, Ephesians chapter 2. chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, for this cause I call the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you with, and then he goes on to speak about God had taken up the people of Israel, and that was the dispensation. We sometimes refer to it as the dispensation of law. In the way that it was the last test of the first man, he took the people and he gave them every favor to see if that people could produce good for God. And it ended up the crucifixion of Christ. But now there is a dispensation, and the Lord God has taken up characteristically Gentiles and is forming the church. Now, a dispensation is simply a different administration. The Lord God works at different times. He works differently with Adam and Eve, and he works differently in the new world, or what's called the world now is Noah, maybe government to the hands of men, and then he took up Israel, calling a people, a nation, the land. And now he came to the Gentiles, and there is this creation as the assembly of God, seemingly made up of Gentiles that Paul emphasizes in his vision. The Jew and the Gentile becoming one. But I would like just to emphasize, because it is impossible to discern God's mind and thoughts for you and how you are to work if you do not understand God's deal in different dispensations. He has, for instance, given us the government of the world and the pardon. He gave a government of aid to Israel, because Israel had government would be carried on in this world. But we're in a dispensation superior to itself. And I just want to say, it doesn't matter where you are reading in the Word of God, and speak by God's grace to understand the basic intent of that book. I can tell you some of the greatest errors and greatest movements in numbers that exist today exist because of the Word of God misapplied. The Word of God misapplied. No understanding of the dispensational teachings of God. And so we have an example in these next verses. It says in verse 18 that this hymenaeus and Philetus heard concerning the truth, that they had a truth, but how did they err finding a truth? They failed because they misplaced it. They said the resurrection was past already. Well, it's not past already. We know the resurrection of this resurrection has two parts to it, neither of them because of past already. But they knew Old Testament truth that there was going to be a resurrection. They knew nothing about what the scriptures speak of the first resurrection, or the supreme resurrection, where only certain ones who are dead, saints of God, are going to be raised from among the dead. They didn't know about truth, that's a dispensational teaching. But dispensation is important, and if you don't understand it, Pentecostalism, if you were to witness, if you were to know that many vast treatments have their foundations in the Word of God, misplaced in the Word of God.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are here. So if you look at the question yesterday, what did you see? You see the great admixture. But in that admixture, he knows what is real and he knows what is not real. Think of the mystery that we have in Matthew 13. That seal is with a seal of admixture, wasn't it? I'm glad to see a real body is not with a coming body. And it was something about the weeds, you know. He said, it's gone out. And he said, that gone out looks so much like the weeds, except for one thing to it. So what's that? He said, the gone out never gone over like the weeds. So he said, it's not like this. He said, the weeds have gone over like this. So there's the truth. And the other thing is, it's all in the money, okay? The 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, 28, 30, 32, 58, 60, 62, 98, 100, 102, always in even numbers. That's the fact. The fact is this, when God is in something, it's done perfectly, isn't it? That's just the way it is. But that guy will never turn over. It's always straight up. But in appearance, it looks like a week. So what is the thing that really secures the mind of the believer in this world? Meekness and lowliness? If one of the life of Christ, he was that meek and lowly life. And that we went through, I believe, genuine ability. And if he cried and the exaltation of man, I just like to put an analogy on that, I thought it was, it would be very helpful. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands before having this fear. The world knows them that it is. We know that we're skepticism. We know that we're past and definitely life because we love the brother. If we don't love our brother in Christ, there's something wrong. If we need to be judged, it's a very weak thing. I wonder if there is sometimes on my past, and I need another good believer. I mean, can I look at it? There's an immediate bond there. And then if you can know them by the truth, the way it says that we ask someone to say that a Christian, and neither tells me that a Christian and I watch the truth. But here, that we should never decide ourselves here that there's a believer below the conversation. And sometimes, we do little of these children on Christians to get away from the world and do things that would, that even would make the world wonder. And so that the Lord knows them of the truth. And we have had a few examples running about Peter. Peter was when he got away from the Lord and denied the Lord, and he was evident that he was a real believer because he was able to serve. And Judas was the one who walked in the presence of the Lord, but he was never real. And the Lord knew that from the beginning. Someone was so proud that the Lord chose Judas to be a disciple. The Lord knew the beginning from the end, and he had expected him. Like the Lord knew it from the beginning. So we were not for us to make that decision, but the Lord did not. I think it's a principle reason why, another principle reason why the Lord took up Judas to the warning for all time to those who think that Christianity is something that they can take up for their benefit and for their blessing to them, the ones of those who. I love that there in 1 Peter, where it says, 2 Peter, where it says, he was called up to glory and virtue. He could never say that about Jesus. It's decided to do it, but the Lord expects to see fruit in our lives. And he shows up, I believe, to Judas, the danger of pretension, the danger of trying to do something that one is not. But it's very telling that Jesus is telling his whole life when Mary brought that out of the bathroom and he complained about it. That's very telling. You know, he didn't care about the fact that a year's wages, you know, was taken in years of service like that. He wanted to take that money, I believe, for himself. And that wasn't sense of very telling. What is one of the principal things that God puts him into that? Isn't that money? I remember the big person said it, and right now my brother told me He said, that day pulled in one day, and one afternoon went away for $50,000. It's money, I tell you. That's one of the principal things that drives Christendom. Drives Christendom, don't they? But the Lord Jesus, here is that lowly one, had to ask for a penny. Do you think that had more weight? They could. They could.
That reason, I believe, we need to be particular against the past and the thing that so-called modern Christianism, that we stick to the Word of God, and we don't get carried away with motives that other than that that we should have from the Word of God, because I don't want to get into the ifs and buts and yarns and rights of cancellation, but I'm given to understand that the new translation that is commonly used today in Christianism is designed purely from the point of money, that those in that business come up with the idea of how they could make more money if they got in the new translation, that they would sell hundreds of more Bibles. And so we need to be careful we don't get caught up with that more of the things of having money or any other thing other than that, what the Spirit of God was doing. And it's such a period that we don't get caught up with other motives. How easy it is to get caught up with that. The thing that just really is about is, and we need to judge it and put it aside and put Christ before it.
And everything is properly translated, but everyone that nameth the name of the Lord, the type of ministry. And that same thing to be saved and say that I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior, it's another thing altogether, the name of the Lord Christ. That's right. That's the division show, isn't it? You know, there's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to buy the truth. There's a caption bag that I intend to follow. And you've got to say, everyone that means the name of the Lord, that's really the Bible, isn't it? So if it's not something to follow them, like the fact that 300 men that God and David is asking, but it's a faith, even one who is taught by the Spirit of God, it's a faith that is worth paying. To have the faith is a precious thing, isn't it?
The question is that important. Please keep in mind in this book, in Timothy is written to an individual. And he talks about how putting it in to the individual, to the theologian, to the mind of God. But if we look around and we see that person's acting like a Christian, I think he is. There might be times to find out he is. And then we see another person that's not acting like a Christian, and then we find out that he is. So there are many stories that are true. But to the individual, that I am trying to be the type of minister. And not my responsibility to force you to be type of minister. This is just an individual. Now, it doesn't matter if something from my own house, if I am rewriting the rest of the time for the world, no matter what I see, the inconsistencies around, it's up to me to be type of minister.
I love him and know that your God is so beautiful. I love your friend very much and the crazy person. You may look at the church of God as all the hypocrites are, but that doesn't excuse you. That doesn't excuse you. And sometimes people will use that excuse to stay away from reading, or, you know, for 101 reasons, you know, why they can't do that. Well, I'm sorry, but that does not excuse you. If the Lord has a claim upon our lives, and He does, it is my responsibility to respond to that life.
That's an interesting way to notice that someone to be a hypocrite or to be a hypocrite, there has to be a real one. If you kind of a hypocrite guy, there must be a real one. And we should never forget that. And so, if you look at those who are real, it would encourage us to go on in the world and meet the others with the Lord to deal with them. But I believe we teach that July 9th and 10th, that in order to you have a counterfeit dollar that has to be a real one, otherwise it can never be a counterfeit dollar. And so in order for someone to be a hypocrite, there has to be a real believer. And so we keep having to knowing that the Lord is alive and He is real. We follow Him.
I don't know this point is saying, but in great height, and not only just as a gold and silver, but also with me there, and come down and come to this side of this and that has become a great height. All of God's children belong at the Lord's table. But you cannot say that all of the Lord's children are at the Lord's table, or rather in fellowship at the Lord's table. I want to emphasize that. They've been teaching in all the years that, you know, if I leave fellowship at the Lord's table, I've left the Lord's table, not here. The Lord's table is something that I've been invited to be there for the fear of God in the midst of the Lord Jesus here. I have to think of it this way. It's like a father sitting at the head of his table, and the children are seated around him. I don't think that they're still in the country. Why don't I think I'll go to my bedroom? So he picks up his plate and goes off to his bedroom. And the other says, I think I'll leave again and play supper for a while. So he picks up his plate and goes off and plays supper. It's just like that. You know, anything is the person and the scene of the house has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. Like it's kind of just their room so they can go out and eat, you know, here and there and everywhere by itself. Do you think for a minute that that doesn't grieve the Lord, and I take my tray, and I get up from my table, and I go off to another room in the house. I'm in the house, but I'm not at the table. I'm not at the table. I just think of that illustration, you know, in that way. And it's just like that Bill was sitting me one time. He said, the Spirit of God comes. He said, but then you turn to your house as a guest. That's okay, but you have a bedroom. Somebody comes along, well, I guess I have to move you into the third guest room in the basement. And somebody else comes along, well, I guess I got to move you up to the wheelchair. Pretty soon, you go to the bank. And then, it's going to be brought off the property altogether. When I think of Christendom in a certain sense, I think of that. Now, I know the Spirit of God dwells all believers individually, and you live an individual with it, I see it, as you're taking up the path to the person. But there's still, we're collected teaching you in that way. It's an awful thing to treat the Lord like that. But if he's in his grace and nothing will tell you that, he says what he wants what? He wants the most willing heart. Am I willing to be there in fellowship at that table? He's not going to force me there. He's not going to drag me there. If I don't want to be there, he's not going to force me to be there.
Even the last days we get to, we're getting a revelation from the Jesus gospel again, of the Lord thing inviting the individual, any man, the whole thing is going out, speaking to the believers, the believers in the gospel, but truly speaking to the believers, the individual Christian, and the believers of the chapter is given up in the last days, so it's speaking to individuals. Individually as a person, and that's great height. It's important. There are many where it's not meant to help them. There are many perhaps that are going on with things in their life as a type of worship that we might not be happy with. But the Lord is asking for individual height to be faithful in these last days, and we want to individually step forward and walk. And in doing so, we also encourage others to walk carefully too. And so we need to keep an eye on our great height. We experience both real time, much to order, much to believe about, that there is the Lord that says to us, the whole of the family today and now to any man. So he's inviting us to individually to be careful for him. And in doing so, I believe we encourage others to be careful again.
I think that the Lord is going to be a good thing.
The person of faith, but he takes
the place of being the servant of the Lord. And so there will be those who say, Lord, Lord. We don't even know the Lord. Peter speaks of the night where he says, they deny the Lord, that baptism. There is a company to lift up the gift that is having been bought by the Lord. And they deny him, and they're not even sure, they don't even know him. So, Hebrews speaks that way too about trampling on the foot of God, of Christ, whereby you were sanctified. There is a real profession, it's a wonderful place to be, but it's not enough. It's not enough. There must be reality and real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has pointed out and things the emphasis is not only God is just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. But it's in our lives taking the place of being servants, and consequently, the Lord takes the character of being Lord. And that's why I don't think as the Lord of the church, because the thought of the church is a right or a right. It's not the thought of the servant. But when you and I, as individuals, are before the Lord, that's one of the relationships we have with him, the servant. But remember, Christendom around us does not mean we're not a part of Christendom. Because if you're not a part of Christendom, you've given up the profession of Christianity. And I have no doubt that that's the analogy of this great house, it's just using. As we all know, all of us is in our house, either characters or not, therefore, for the only surrounding. I mean, the story of God is something like that, but the right vessel, and that's what we want to be, a vessel, the animal, not our animal, but Christ's animal.
With my first child, or chapter 2, coming to this, having a problem, by the way, but knowing the power for life. And then we all have to confess that way. But I thought I was taking them godly, or their faith is godly form. But yes, knowing the power, and we had that kind of power yesterday in chapter 1, in verse 8. And when I thought about this, the gods are according to the power of God. And so we have those who have been taken them to practically deny the power of God, that they just wrote the form of Christianity, because the power is the Spirit of God, the believer is the Spirit of God. And just to go back to Samuel chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and you know this story well of Saul and Samuel. And Saul said unto Samuel, in verse 13, blessed be thou of the Lord. How I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now look at Samuel's saying in verse 22, how thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee. And so we have that oldest song there, that denying the power, that we deny what the word of God says, which I believe that Satan said, and I suspect that I'll be denying the power of God.
Thank you, Stephen. I think that's an important consideration, because we might apply it to unbelievers or that. You and I, as we sit here today, we like forms. And we can go through, and I go through, and understand it. But that's not enough to say the Spirit of God is the power of it. And it starts lasting in our life, and we have a form of God in it. But it's not been created in it by the power of the Spirit of God. It's not a living thing with it. It's just a form. It isn't that the form of God in it is God. It's true. But it's not the reason that God is a place. It's not the fruit of the Spirit of God. I mean, it's a function that we all have to be exercised about. I'm satisfied I will be in there on a coming day when the Lord is used, my Lord's day, and how many of them. Very few Lord's days since I've been saved, but I'm not working there. Very few. But how many of them have I not remembered today? You know, I've been leaping faster than my own way. And I'm going to get this promotion. There's a tie, I'm going to fix this tie. So I can go through the form of breaking the cup and breaking the bread. But God in itself is not the right one. In fact, when you speak of form or any of these things like ones, should I encourage us to think for spirit, how does this apply to me? Things like in this diary, all kinds of things, but you know, it's remarkable in the 7th verse of this book, what the Spirit saith to the churches. So I can say that this is Rome, this is Protestantism. But here I am up here in Philadelphia. Lord says, you better hear what the Spirit says to the churches, because there's not one of them that he addresses a prophet and who he doesn't. But I mean, there's not one of them will talk to us yet that we'll see from the danger of falling into that trap. And that means more than a power maker, but we can become very comfortable with the thing.
And follow him
in the heart. But let us find out that our heart is believing that the Lord is going to bring things in that will help the country. If our conscience is just God, feed it, help the planet, and we're going to get blessed. We're going to get blessed. And there may be a fast involved. There undoubtedly will be a fast involved. But it's a fight that's worth paying. To have the truth of God, to have that truth, that precious truth, connected with Him, to pay. I want to comment on that because that's what it has. Because you see here, it's reaching from trusting those who are told. You know, we're not born into Christianity, and we're not born into the worship of Christ, and we can naturally speak it. Okay, we can do not believe. If God were going to remove him in heaven, so he is not a thing of the truth. If one thing to say I have the truth, it's another thing to walk in it and pass the planet. We only have it as we walk in it and pass the planet. But it's not in the left, it's not in the head. It's down in the heart. The truth comes by the conscience into the heart. When the Spirit of God speaks to our conscience, that's the listen.
I believe in this verse 24 there, that Henry is emphasizing that we need to carry these things to our souls. And I believe that verse 24 that could exercise this. I believe that the more exercise over the years of we're looking at the state of the church today, looking at the whole state of the church today, with more than exercise of verse 24, individuals, although Brian has got out to again emphasizing this is written to individuals. The difference of individuals over the years that are taking more heed to verse 24, that the great state of the church has been different than the church today. The children of Jesus of the Lord, but I thought that the so-called religion together, we're all children of the Lord here today, if we're trusting in Christ. The children of the Lord must die, but together we all know how to speak patience. And I ask them to not speak in the name of the Lord. And certainly, that we might not strive to be patient. I believe that we have failed in the truth of the church many times. As individuals.
Let me get out of the very common fear and the youthful love. I think sometimes the tendency for us to think of the youthful love has to do with the young people. But I think sometimes that these youthful love may also carry a connotation with the view of spiritual immaturity. Spiritual immaturity. And so we mean the following person of it. Whoever you are,
I understand verse 24. It's very good the impression that a person is position of a teacher, a prominent individual, or whatever. But I think that the Bible has a footnote on that. Instead of up to teach, he points out it should be a teachable spirit. No matter how old the individual becomes, no matter how wealthy he is in the face of the Lord, or how happy he is, he still needs to have a peaceful spirit. Willing to listen to others, the Word of God is so clear and so vast, and none of us can doubt to that. We need to have peace in
us. Doesn't Paul even say that? I want to let it be prepared to receive the offer. He says, better the young and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no longer be about. God help us if we ever get to the point in our lives, and some of us have already got wrong, if we reach a point where we think we know it all. I'm sorry to have to say this, brethren, but I have met brethren myself the first one, the new other thing that went to now in the middle. That's all I mean. Already had a priest today with everyone. There's no man to be really honest to himself, and then of course, a dear sovereign that was in the meeting years ago, and then you. There was a good thing in looking at scripture and never to go beyond what you know. That's your statement. And all of these things, you know, if you do an honest man, you must admit it to some extent. It is a serious thing to accuse a bad country in itself, right, not so? And that's the one that you look at making the bad truth appear a lot of hopelessly, you remain just. But that's not just. That's the way to cure the bad people, is my understanding.